Gospel according to John, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." Then they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." Jesus said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but only a 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Now was the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I invite the children forward for a children's message. She's thinking about it. Hey, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie because it's really, really old, but have you ever seen the movie Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember Slimer when he tried to eat a big dish of food?
Yes.
What happened?
I don't know.
You don't remember? What happened? Oh, this was 4 years ago. Okay, it was a long time. Well, did you ever see the movie Casper, the Friendly Ghost?
Yes.
Okay, when he tried to eat something, what happened? It just fell right through him, right? Because he was a ghost, right? There was nothing to him other than just kind of you could see him. Well, you know, today, Jesus sees the disciples out on the boat and fishing, and when he comes ashore, he says, bring some fish. And, of course, Jesus then fries it all up and has breakfast with the disciples. And you know what? The food didn't fall through him. Why? Can you think? Because Jesus wasn't a ghost. You know, when the disciples first saw him, they still weren't quite sure that it was Jesus. And even if it was Jesus, they weren't sure if Jesus was real flesh and blood yet or not. So Jesus asked for some food to eat to kind of prove that he was alive again, that he was resurrected and wasn't just a ghost. And that's kind of one of the wonderful stories in the Bible that most people don't think about. And it comes to eating and such. So let's say a prayer and then you head back, okay? Gracious Lord, we thank you for giving us Jesus and for him to showing us that he is alive again. Help us always to remember that in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, see you guys later. Friends of a young mother who had just given birth to their third child were surprised when they received a thank you note for a gift that they had given. The note said this: many thanks for the playpen. It is being used every day from 2 to 3. I get in it to read, and the children can't get near me. Glad you caught that. The first couple of times it took me before I got it. When do you get frustrated? What do you do? When you get stressed out or just the hecticness and the angst of life catches up with you? We all seem to fall back on something. Some people cook or bake. Some people do crafts. Some people yell and scream. Some people play golf and then yell and scream because the ball doesn't go where they want it to. Some people go see movies. Some people eat. But what do? The Apostle Peter went fishing. Jesus had instructed the disciples to go to Galilee and wait. And they did that, but sometimes waiting can be very taxing. In fact, it can be so frustrating, as it was for Peter, that he had to do something. He kind of told his disciples this morning, you know, I just can't sit around here and wait any longer. I've got to do something. I'm going to go fishing. Anybody else in? And of course, they all said, yeah, we'll go with you. And they went and got in the boats. But all night long, they caught nothing. Then morning came. And it was there that they encountered the risen Jesus for the third time. They encountered him through fish and forgiveness and a challenge. I'm convinced that the events of that morning were to remind the disciples of all that Jesus had taught them. The events are very similar to the time when Jesus asked Peter to push forth from the shore so that he could preach to the crowds. In fact, using the boat as kind of a floating pulpit. And then as kind of a reward and maybe a sign to who Jesus was, Jesus said, push out from the shore a little further into the deeper water and let down your nets for a catch. And they caught a miraculous amount of fish. Afterwards, Jesus told them that he would make them fishers of men. And they dropped their nets and they followed him. It is here, 3 years later, they followed. They witnessed everything up to the crucifixion and even the resurrection. And now they were waiting. For what? They didn't know, but they were waiting. Again, the night's fishing had been fruitless. And as they are coming in, they encounter a stranger on the beach who asked them how the fishing was going. And when they said, not very good, he said, you know, let your nets down on the right side of the boat. And they did that, and they caught another miraculous load of fish. Now, that's the fish part. But there is also the forgiveness part. John was the first to realize that it was Jesus, and he leans over and tells Peter, it is the Lord. And Peter dives into the water and swims ashore to be with Jesus. And it was there at a charcoal fire, the same kind of charcoal fire that Peter had warmed himself a few nights before and was asked if he was a disciple of Jesus, and he denied it. It was with the grilled fish and bread that Peter experienced forgiveness. After breakfast, Jesus and Peter were talking, and Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Not once, not twice, but three times. Do you love me? Three times Peter answers, Lord, you know that I love you. The third time, though, Peter is a bit hurt for being asked that same question over and over again, as if there was any doubt how he felt about Jesus. And then I can imagine that maybe a breeze pushed a little smoke from that fire towards Peter, and he began to remember a few nights before when he was warming himself by the fire, and he denied Christ. And then I can imagine him beginning to think, three times I denied him. Three questions Jesus asked. Three opportunities to receive God's forgiveness. And the resurrection is what made that forgiveness possible. Because of the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus was able to offer and to give Peter forgiveness, thus ensuring Peter's own resurrection of faith and service. What profound change that must have been for Peter that morning. Can you imagine the load of guilt that he must have been carrying around with him? Especially after making that bold confession that I will lay down my life for you. I can't imagine the heaviness on Peter's heart. It trapped and entombed him. And like Lazarus being called forth from the tomb, Peter is called forth from the tomb of guilt into a resurrected life of faith with a simple question. Do you love me? Accompanied by a side order of bread and fish. That offer empowered his life and faith to the end of time, and it still inspires us today. Let me tell you about a young man named Levi. Levi was 14 when he ran away from home. One day, he just went out on the road and stuck out his thumb, and somebody picked him up and took him to the next community. And then he again was hitchhiking his way and found somebody who would take him all the way to El Paso. And there he got a day job picking cotton. And when he was out in the field, he realized he didn't want to do that for the rest of his life. So he collected his wages and decided to take off again and put out his thumb, and this time he found two Marines who were heading towards Los Angeles. And there they dropped him off, and he tried to check into a flea bag hotel, but he only had enough money for two nights of stay there. The guy at the counter had told him that he should check out the YMCA, and so he did. And he went to the Y, and they asked him all kinds of questions. And then they said, well, we do have a room for you, but you're going to have to come back in a couple of hours when we have them ready. So Levi went across to a little diner and spent his last few cents on a cheese sandwich and a cup of coffee. And then he headed back to the Y. When he got there, the police were there waiting for him. For the Y had reported him to the juvenile authorities as a runaway. The police took him into custody, and they took him to the youth authority facility. And then the police told Levi that if his parents would send enough money, they would put him on a plane back home. But if they didn't, he would have to stay there in the youth authority until he reached the age of 18. Levi said that he was worried that his parents wouldn't want him back, or they wouldn't be able to collect enough money together for a plane ticket. For 7 long days, he sat in a room at the youth facility, wondering what was going to happen to him. Late on that 7th night, an officer came in and got him and loaded him into a car and took him to the airport and put him on a plane back to El Paso. When the plane landed, Levi was afraid to get off. His folks had driven 250 miles just to get there. He was afraid at the reception that he faced. And so he just stayed there in his seat. Finally, the stewardess came over and said that he had to get off the plane. And so he grabbed his bag and he slowly walked down the stairs. Back then, the planes didn't pull right up to the gate. He had to walk down a set of stairs and then cross the tarmac to get to the airport. But his parents kind of somehow got past the gate and ran across the tarmac. And his father bounded up the stairs and he threw his arms around his son. The father forgave and restored Levi to his rightful place by wrapping his arms around him. And Jesus forgave and restored Peter with bread and grilled fish across a charcoal fire. That fresh grilled forgiveness continued with a single command, the same one that was given so many years before. One that you and I are called to answer today as well. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Follow me." Fish led to forgiveness. Forgiveness led to restoration, and restoration led to a call. Follow me. Today, I want you to experience that same fresh grilled forgiveness which Peter experienced so many years ago. But the first thing we have to do to experience that forgiveness is to come to Christ with a repentant and contrite heart. And I want us to do that this morning in our confession and forgiveness, and then to experience again as we receive the bread and wine of Holy Communion. If you'll please turn to the first page of your bulletins. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light and our salvation. Amen. Let us come to the light, the revealing and healing light of God. Please kneel as you're able. God of grace and glory, you have brought us through the night of sin into the light of Jesus' resurrection, yet our lives are still shadowed by sin. Make us alive in Christ, O God. Make us new as you make all things new. Rescue us from evil and the gloom of sin. Renew us in grace and restore us to a living in your holiness. Through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We have all had those Peter-like moments in our lives. We have all had those moments when we have denied Christ or have denied being his disciple. We have all had those same selfish moments. But the good news is that, like Peter, we too can experience forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Now come and follow him. Amen.